Hey, this is Jeff. We'll get to the show in a second. If you want to support the show or find back episodes of the show or find our other podcasts or find articles or quotes on early learning, all that kind of stuff is over at playvolutionhq.com. We're trying to curate the early learning world. Check it out. Here's the show. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio and via the Zoom meeting platform. I've got Lisa Murphy with me.
Hello.
How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I'm awesome.
So, Lisa, turned 50 back in January, and I'm still settling into it. Apparently, I'm an old guy now because earlier today I was going through my spam folder. You know, I like to check the junk mail every once in a while, see if I'm missing anything.
So, yeah, like a workshop invitation.
Yeah. And maybe that's an old guy thing too, checking the spam. I don't know. But I noticed along with the other junk in there was something new started showing up.
Oh, God.
I'm getting emails inviting me to the Silver Seniors online, I guess dating platform. I haven't clicked the link. I'm really not dating. Tasha, I haven't asked, but I'm pretty sure Tasha doesn't want me dating.
No.
But I'm really curious about clicking the link because, I don't know why.
Because you're Jeff Johnson.
So I told Tasha about it earlier, and she's like, apparently we might click the link later and browse Silver Seniors just to check it out. You're about to turn 50. Have you started getting these emails yet?
I have not gotten these. Although I will say on Facebook, occasionally I'll get that, like swipe to see 20-year-olds in your area, 30-year-olds in your area, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. So I'm like, no, don't touch this. And then I'm like, how do they even know? Well, we know how, because Facebook listens, right? So The minute you just say the word dating, like I'm sure after we perform, after we record all of these, I'm sure that my Facebook feed is going to be filled with tons of stuff. Because Big Brother's always listening. And no, I have not ever I've never been. You've never been on any dating sites?
I have not, because the wife doesn't want me dating.
Yeah, that's usually a wise thing. Like even after the divorce, I never like even dabbled in any of that.
Yeah,
you
at least had a little bit of time in there where you were swinging single again.
Oh yeah, that's right. And I mean, people are like, oh, are you going to get on Match? Or are you going to do it? I'm like, you know what? I don't even have time to buy a new outfit. You know, I'm not. I was too tired and lazy.
No, and if you did that, you would totally have to have a photo shoot for your profile picture and everything. I mean, that's the Lisa Murphy way. You'd have somebody copy it, edit your profile.
That's right. And check for grammatical.
No, so I mean, I've got no.
That means you're an old man because the dating thing is called Silver.
Silver Seniors. Well, I mean, seniors is kind of an old man thing too, I would think.
What is the official age nowadays to be considered? Like, when do you get a discount at Denny's?
I don't know, but you start getting mail and emails from AARP when you turn 50. Because that's another thing that started happening. Like the day after my birthday, I had three things in the mail from AARP trying to get me to join up. First, they're fuck them. But second, fuck them too. I took their membership thing and I tore it all up and put it in the return envelope and sent it back to them and said, take me off your goddamn mailing list, which in hindsight felt like an old guy thing to do.
Well, yeah, you are a little get off my lawn. But you've always been a little get off my lawn. But now you're allowing yourself.
Yeah,
to
I guess
like,
I'm becoming my true self now, I guess.
Well, you've always been your true self, but now you're kind of letting your freak flag fly a little bit more under the permission umbrella of being 50. I think.
Okay.
I can't wait for it, quite honestly.
Okay,
I mean,
so I'm under that under that freak flag thing. Here's freak. The other thing.
Oh God! Well, you said there. Yeah. Okay. What?
Okay. So,
by the way, I'm calling this episode Old Man Jeff 2.0 because we already talked about Old Man Jeff back in January. Okay, keep going.
Old Man Jeff 2.0. Okay, so the other day when I was out yelling in my yard at all the garbage that had been blown into my hedges, because, you know, there are not a lot of trees here in Iowa and the wind blows, and if there's a hedge, it stops stuff. I don't know if this happened in New York. I don't know.
Yes. Any
okay.
Yes.
So then I thought, you know what I'd like?
Oh God.
I'd like one of them sticks with a pointy end.
So you could go grab it?
So not the clipper thing, like the old school thing, like the stick with the nail in the end.
Yeah,
like spear
it. Pick up like the paper, yeah.
Yeah. And I was walking through the yard, bending over, picking up garbage, and I'm not wanting to bend over. It's not like my back hurts or anything, but I'm thinking when I was growing up, there were a lot of these guys on TV walking around picking up garbage with those pointy sticks. And I think it would be great to have one of those pointy sticks.
So did you make one?
Well, of course I made one because I also have a shop and a big collection of sticks. So I made myself a nice stick with a pointy. I just put a 16 penny nail in the end, and I drilled a hole in the other end and looped a nice braided leather band through there. And so I've got my garbage stick. And
how long's the nail?
It's, well, size doesn't matter, but it's about 3 inches long.
Okay.
Is that, I mean,
no, I just didn't know if, like, maybe, you know, because of the amount of trash in the hedge, like maybe you needed some kind of, you know, 6 inch, 12 inch.
Oh, like I'm going to shish kebab all of it.
Shish kebab all. That's what I was imagining in my head.
Well, maybe in the future versions. And so I'm walking through the yard, picking up trash with the stick, and I am overjoyed. I mean,
With the collection component of it?
What?
Like with the collecting of it, you're overjoyed? Or that
I'm
you're
liking that. I'm liking the stabby part. I got to admit, I'm liking the stabby part because at the time we're three quarters through rewatching Game of Thrones, so we can catch up on the new episodes,
yeah.
Which we haven't seen. Haven't watched any of the, as we're recording this, I haven't watched any of the season yet, but we're about caught up.
No spoilers. I haven't seen the new ones yet.
Yeah, we haven't either, but in where we are right now, Ramsay just died. Battle
I
of the Bastards.
Ramsay. Oh.
Yeah, okay. So I think the Game of Thrones has a little bit to do with my joy of the stabbiness.
Sure.
There's also, the yard looks great because I'm getting, there's, you know, there back in the day, before the pointy stick, I'm going to divide my life into to pre-pointy stick and post-pointy stick now. Before the pointy stick, you know, if there was something way up in the hedge, I'd just leave it there and, you know, maybe kick some mulch over it. It'll decompose.
But now
I'm getting all up in there. And so it's delightful. But there was a problem.
I'm thinking of one, but tell me one.
Tell me what you think it was.
Well, your yard is considerably of size, so I was imagining that by the time you circled the whole, like, circumference of your yard, that the yard got dirty again. So you're like, shit, there goes my Saturday.
Well, that's part of it, although I would totally enjoy that, too, because, I get to use my stick more.
For a little bit more.
So one of the, and if a windy day, that's exactly what would happen. What I find is I'm picking up stuff with the stick and then I'm putting it in the little tote, the garbage tote I'm carrying around. And I'm like, this isn't efficient. And I'm thinking back to all the TV shows. There's a guy,
some kind of a strappy over like bag.
Yeah, it's like over one shoulder baggy thing. And so I just took one of those go to the grocery store bags, you know, those
the recycle bags,
those virtue signaling bags. I took one of them out and that worked okay holding it in one hand. But since it wasn't over my shoulder, I couldn't do the good release thing. And so now Tasha is building. No, she works with fabric. I don't think you build things out of fabric. She is
sewing.
She is sewing me a bag to go with my garbage that will hang over my shoulder, and it's going to be burlap too. It's going to be like nature-y. And so I'm really looking forward to that being done. And also I'm wondering, at what age can I venture beyond my yard?
I was going to say, you know, if you get seen out there enough, there's going to be people who are going to want to hire you. Or do you want to just take it upon yourself and go, you know, clean the neighborhood?
Well, I'm walking about 8 miles a day with the dogs as it is. So
you might as well clean up the yard while you're there.
Yeah, but then I'm thinking, I'm not sure I'm old enough. I mean, at this point, I'm thinking 50 is old enough to have a garbage stick in my yard, like in my.
Maybe you could wear like a fake beard, like a fake mountain man beard, and get some kind of big old floppy hat, and that makes you look a little older. And I think you should have some kind of, like, harness the trash bag to the dogs.
They would like that. They would like that. They actually do need a job. But I was thinking I probably need to be 60 before I venture out of the yard with the pointy
stick. There's a goal. I mean, we all need a goal.
Yeah. But there's some stuff in the neighborhood I'd really, really like to pick up too. I also want to wander around the neighborhood and do some pruning. But
Has there been a consistent pattern to the kind of trash that you're picking up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all fast food stuff from the fast food places in the nearby area or the convenience store down the street. A lot of energy drinks. Problem is, the people I see walking around drinking energy drinks
don't
have a lot of energy. They're not doing much. Oh, speaking of energy drinks, Lisa Murphy, I didn't have this in the notes, but you know Bob Ross, right?
I do.
Happy Tree Guy. I mentioned this. If there's anybody that listens to the Renegade Rules podcast, you've heard me mention this to Heather Shoemaker, who did not know Bob Ross.
Shut up.
Exactly.
She didn't know who he was?
No. On one hand, I think Heather Shoemaker is very PBS-y, so I thought she would know. But on the other hand, she's actually doing shit, so I can see her not knowing Bob Ross. So it was once she didn't know, it was totally on brand. So, but here's a couple Bob Ross things. I mean, he's been dead for I don't know how many years, but recently I've become aware that there is a Bob Ross cereal.
Like a breakfast cereal?
Breakfast cereal. I believe it's got marshmallows in it. I'm not sure, but I'm going to guess they're happy little trees. Are you writing this down so you can Google it later? There is also a Bob Ross energy drink.
Why? Because it makes you happy?
Because somebody, the Bob Ross brand is still out there and the show is still being aired. And so somebody can make a buck. Now,
okay. So does that mean that we have to make some Jeff Johnson, Lisa Murphy
energy drink?
Some energy drink? Well, I want to be a cereal.
No, I would like to be a cereal. I would like to be a artisan whiskey is what I'd like to be.
Well, and I could go for some brand label wine.
Yeah, I think that would be more on brand. But I mentioned energy drinks and the Bob Ross popped right back into my head. That's the thing. And so on the Renegade Rules podcast, I tried to put this out at the end of the episode. If anybody's tested either the Bob Ross cereal or energy drink, I would really, really, really like to know your experiences with it, because it's totally something I'm not going to try because I'm an old guy. But also, I would really, really like to know if it gave you energy or fortified you for your busy work day.
He has also a waffle maker. He also has a toaster. There is a game called Happy Little Accidents, and it's called The Joy of Cereal.
Of course it is. Does the toaster have an afro?
It makes an afro. It makes his face on the side of the toast.
It for real?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if eating the cereal makes you have a happy accident later. Too much of that energy drink, you'd be like, oh.
As an old guy, I think I could get into watching Bob Ross again.
You know, I think I saw it once when I was little, but yet it stuck with me. You know, yeah. But now he's like a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a super thing.
And I don't know if it's an ironic hipster thing or people really dig him, but
Sometimes it's hard to know.
So this has probably been a real shitty episode for some of our listeners that wanted to hear early learning talk. But other listeners like to hear us talk about shit, so they'll like it. Any childhood early learning connections to make with me getting old?
An old man?
Is there
poking a stick?
I think
up trash in the yard. I'm sure we could have springboarded there.
I think part of turning into an old guy is I'm getting even more comfortable in my own skin.
You know, I hear that a lot, actually. In all
with the other old people, you know.
So everybody I know, for the most part, my peer group, everybody's turning 50 this year. You were first. And I kid you not, every single week, somebody that I went to school with is celebrating turning 50. And a sidebar conversation on some of their like turning 50 announcements is that they are feeling more comfortable in their skin as they've gotten older. And I think that is because we sometimes let some of that other bullshit go, or you finally make peace with the fact that, you know, everybody told you growing up that when you walk into the room, nobody's staring at you, nobody cares what kind of clothes you're wearing and all that. You're the only one that does. But I think it takes a while to actually, for whatever reason, actually believe that as a very silly example of feeling more comfortable in your own skin. I think for me, I feel that I have been more comfortable being a little bit more assertive, work-wise, you know, like at this point, it's like, hello, you know, how many, like to kind of go back to the episode from a while back of, you know what, if you honestly really think that I need to be producing and showing you actual empirical data over something as common and as basic as kids going outside to play, like, you know, sit the fuck down. and I think I'm, you know, I've always, I think, been like that, but now I'm a little bit more like, really? You know, I and not just as maybe a character, I'm jumbling over my words. It's more that it's like, that's always been me, but sometimes like, and you've known me long enough, like I would have a little bit more of a filter, maybe a couple layers of a filter. You know, like my brain would instantly go there, but I'd stop myself. Like now though, those filters are starting to disintegrate a little bit. And maybe whereas I might've watched my mouth, quote unquote, in some conversations or in some venues or in some workshops, I'm finding that I'm becoming a little bit more okay with, you know what, guys, sit down and write this down, you know, or let's, why are we still pussyfooting around certain topics? And
yeah. Yeah. And so I guess when it comes to our profession, when we find ourselves on a track, I don't want comfortable in your own skin to sound like complacent or not growing. But when you decide you're going to embrace play, or I mean, decide you're going to embrace worksheets, I guess, be comfortable with who you are. And I think we all get to the place professionally where we just like, this is what works for me. And then I'm not saying get complacent with it, but do things to grow and reinforce it. But the more comfortable you are with who you are in the profession, the, I think, more authentic, more effective you are, because there aren't all those filters that you were talking about.
And I also think the confidence goes up. I mean, the reason that sometimes I think that I get frustrated with some of these conversations is because if I actually sat down and dug through these archaic file cabinets behind me here that I'm pointing to that Jeff can see because we're on this platform, I would be able to produce 20 and they're outdated. So imagine what I could produce, you know what I'm saying? That is current. And I think it's the confidence that allows me to become a little bit more comfortable with dropping some of those filters. It's not a personal preference. It's my God. I think one of the statements I have in the new book is that, you know, the idea of the importance of children playing outside we've been reinforcing this for 55 years. Like the issue itself is ready for fucking retirement, for crying out loud.
it could join Silver Seniors.
It could join Silver Seniors and collect Social Security. At what point do we just believe it instead of having to defend it? So I will, and that's a long way of saying that I completely reinforce what you said. Being comfortable in your own skin doesn't mean that you kind of decide that, you know, you're going to sit down now and just kind of stay here for the rest of your life. I actually think it could be almost the opposite, is that I feel a little bit more confident in what I believe in, not just because it's what I like, but because, you know, I have now this many years with my fingers in the pie. And so of course I'm going to stand up and scream really loud on some of these topics because I know I'm right.
Yeah. It's not so much, this is what I like. It's this is who I am. And, yes. And there's a subtle difference there. And I think when you're in the, this is who I am stage, you do have that confidence and willingness to put the voice out there. One more thing before we wrap this up, is this just Jeff getting older? Is this Jeff's a dick thing, or is this a good thing to do, or both, or is this just what people should do? So I put those early learning quotes. Most of them are early learning quotes out there on the social media. I've been doing that for years, and there's going on 2,400 of them out there, I think, now. And so the other day there's one, and it's one of those old quotes. I think it was a John Holt quote. And talking about a child and refer to he.
Oh.
And then somebody had to make a comment, and she. As if every fucking human being that reads the quote didn't jump to that conclusion all by themselves. And I just banned her. Just banned her from the page. Because I the fact that this person wasted the time to type that into the social media and thought they were being, I don't know what they thought they were doing. They're virtue signaling, or they're being profound, or whatever the fuck it was. Fuck them and stay off of my Facebook page. Is you're laughing at me.
Well, only because this morning, you know, I in my morning troll of the social media, somebody posted, and I didn't click on it. So I got nothing other than, you know, the clickbait thing. I didn't click on it because I kind of, for the same reason, that the Gingerbread Man book is now being redone to be the ginger person. It's the same.
Yeah, exactly. I just got no energy for it. And so I don't know. I'm sure she was a perfectly nice lady. She just can't look at anything I put on Facebook ever again. And I mean, she'll have to live with
actually,
that.
That's an interesting topic. And it's like moving forward versus going back. I mean, I really don't, and I'm speaking off the top of my head here, and it might piss somebody off, but to go back and rewrite everything now, to me, just seems a little silly. I mean, to me, it's like, okay, we've had potentially an awareness, a broadening of our understanding or awareness when it comes to certain issues. Fine. Awesome. Good. Sorry it took so many people that long to get here. But to go back and now think that everything has to be rewritten through that new lens, as opposed to saying, maybe I'll still read it or experience it with my new lens.
Yeah.
But then moving forward, this new lens might direct some of the stuff that I write or that I craft or that I assemble. But I think if we're not careful, we're going to get caught up into, you know, rewinding instead of moving forward. And that's a little bit of a concern for me.
Yeah. I think that's kind of part of the old guy thing. I don't want to rewind. I don't want it to be 1972 again. I love where the world is. I love my pointy stick, and I'm embracing old guy-dom. And life is good. So I don't know how to wrap.
I meant more if we get overly not wanting like it to be another time frame in regard to rewinding.
Just go back and rewind.
If we went like take children's books as an example right now. If we went back to the beginning of children's books and felt the need to republish every story that's ever been written with a more open mind, we would never produce anything new.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd be too busy editing and correcting, quote unquote, the stuff that came before. I think people who have grown in their own psychological growth and development are able to still look and read, and I'm just sticking with this as an example, mm-hmm. you can still read a children's book that might be horribly dated and, yeah. and realize that for the time that it was written, it wasn't written with mean, malicious intent. But to go back and try and, you know, somehow, I don't know. I think you can't go back and fix it. I mean, we all know that some of those books were very white, middle-class centered. Yeah. Nobody's denying that. I get that. But to go back and I think just moving forward, we need to be more understanding and open with the new material that's out there instead of rubbing everybody's nose in shit that got published 100 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And I Heather Shoemaker and I did an episode about kids' books not too long ago. And one of the points she made is that stuff, those older books, can still be read, and then a conversation can be had about those issues.
Exactly.
It becomes a launching pad for those conversations. And so there's value there. And I mean, throwing away the old stuff just because it's old is stupid because there's a lot to be learned there. Probably time to wrap this one up. Any final thoughts?
No,
I guess the only one I've got is
real time, Jeff. I got it. I'll be disclosing. I love when we get together in the studio and we pump out all those episodes. And I love knowing that we do it. And then there's fresh content every week. But I also think that this kind of live in real time for me is very fulfilling.
Yeah. So this platform seems to be working out okay. It's only the second one we've recorded with it, but I think it'll do us well. Gonna throw this out there. If you do need a pointy stick to pick up garbage in your own yard, get a hold of me. I'll make you one. I got lots of sticks. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing with a friend. Thanks for sticking us in your ear holes. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.